Today Shi'as Masech Techulin Daf Lamed Beis. We're going to begin on Daf Lamed Aleph Amed Beis, 21 lines from the top. Lamed to have a Tiyufta Rav Yochanan Miha. In our previous Shi'ar, we learned the Mishnah that spoke about a Shechita that really took place seemingly without any intention of the owner, of the person who did the Shechita. And based on that Mishnah, Rav said that our Mishnah again seems to be a raya to the opinion of Rav Nosson that Shechita doesn't need intent. Once we began speaking about intent, the Gemara quoted a machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan about a woman who went to the mikveh without intent. What is her din? And Rav said that she's allowed to have relations with her husband, but she's not allowed to have eat truma meiser. And Rabbi Yochanan said she can't have relations with her husband either. The Gemara then said and proved, and that was the last brice that we learned yesterday, that clearly in order for chulin, when it's not kachim or truma, intent is not required. So where we start this year today is lemetav tiyuf Rabbi Yochanan meha. So the brice that we quoted at the end of the shir, that clearly indicates that fechulin intention is not required, seems to be a direct refutation of Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. And in fact, the Shita says he doesn't understand why the Gemara uses the word lema. Lema means maybe. It's not a maybe. It's quite clear in that brice. So he says a beautiful teretz, and it's a lesson. He says, although we've been explaining Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is because Rabbi Yochanan holds that you need to have intent when you go to the mikveh. He never said it. We extrapolated that that's what he means, because he said if there was tefillah without intent, it's not a valid tefillah. But since Rabbi Yochanan never explicitly said that that is his reasoning, we can never say he's refuted when we really don't know 100% what is the basis for his position. So it certainly is a question, however, says the Gemara. So lemet have teruf to Rabbi Yochanan miha. Amalei, so the Mara responds, Rabbi Yochanan hu damak Rabbi Yonasan be Yosef. Rabbi Yochanan has a different Tana who teaches us that intent is not required. The Tanya, Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef Omer, and a word of explanation is required, introduction. We know that the Torah teaches us that a house could have negam. And the Torah teaches us that if a Kohen comes to the house and he sees a nega, he should quarantine it. If he comes back after a week and the nega spread, then he declares the house as menuga. If he comes back and it hasn't spread, the Torah says that he should v'chubas, wash off that nega, and come back after another week and see. If it spread, then the house is considered menuga. If it didn't spread, the house is fine. And if the house is fine, the Torah says, v'chubas sheinus, wash the house a second time, and everything is fine. And our Gemara is focusing on the words that the Torah uses, v'chubas sheinus. Rashi says that the word v'chubas sheinus is difficult. What did the Torah have to say, sheinus? It's obvious, it's the second time that the Torah tells them to wash. Other Mefarshim say it's a much deeper question. Beautiful explanation. If you think about these two washings, they're very different types of washings. The first washing is just to clean the house so that we could see what is the status. The second washing is for tahara, that it was decided the house is not menuga, and we're cleansing it that it should be treated as a tardiga house. So how does the Torah say the word sheinus? There's no connection between the second v'chubas and the first v'chubas. And if you look in the Targum Unklus, of the two times that the Torah says the word v'chubas, he doesn't define it the same way, because it doesn't mean the same thing as we just explained. So we begin over here. The Tanya, Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef Omer v'chubas, ma tam alay m'shenis. So why does the Torah say shenis? Whatever pshat we learn, says the Gemara, the reason the Torah is doing it is makish tabusa shena tabusa shoshena. The Torah wants to compare these two washings. Ma tachbusa shoshena, when he came back after the week, was certainly done, Lodas, where the Kohen gave instructions, af takbusa shniya, so too the second one is ladas. Now what's the purpose of the second takbusa? As we just said, it's a tahara. And we see that tahara should be done ladas. Says the Gemara, if we're comparing the two takbusas, why don't we say, imalahal bin adas koyin, just like by the first takbusas, it has to be done not just with intent, but under the direction of the koyin, afkan, the second takbosis as well, perhaps being in das koyin, amalei tamalayim, but that's what the parah adds, there was a tear, become okay. So what we're up to now is we found a source for Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. This is the Tanna that says that tefillah needs intent. Maskler of semi berashi, omiyam Rabbi Yochanan hoki. Is this indeed the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan? From Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan has a rule throughout Shas, halachik stam mishnah. And it's worth repeating, why is halachik stam mishnah? Because we know Rebbe was the one that compiled the mishnais. And Rebbe, when he wanted everybody to follow a certain practice, specifically left it anonymous, that everybody should, that it should be everybody's opinion, and people should be comfortable in following it. If it's going to be attributed to a specific individual, well, I don't follow that individual's opinion. And so therefore, wherever we have a Stam Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan says, that is the halacha. But Tanan, and we learned in our Mishnah, Nafla Saka V'Shachta, if the Saka fell by itself and Shechted, Api Sheshachta Kedarka, even though there was a valid Kosher Shechita, Psula. Vavinaba, and we learned in the previous year, Tam the Nafla, it fell by itself, Ha-Hipilahu, if the person who did the Shechita was the one that dropped it, Ksheira. It would be a kosher shechita. Vavagav, glemchavin, even though there was no intent to make a shechita. Vaminin, and we said in our previous year, man tana, bloiboy kavana l'shechita. What is the, who is the tana that says that intent is not required? Amarava, and we said in our previous year, Rabnasanhi. Rabnasan, so we see that intent is not required. So even if we found, says the Gemara, that Rabbi Yochanan could say that he, there, we found a Tana, Rabbi Yonasan by Yosef, who holds intent is not required, but our Mishnah clearly teaches us that intent is not required. So, and it's a Stam Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, it's not a question. Amar Rava, Rabbi Nosson he, and B'Shechita, Avila Rabbi Yonasan by Yosef. Even Rabbi Yonasan by Yosef, who clearly holds that when it comes to Tahara, intent is required, by Shechita, he'll say it's an exception to the rule. And we can't learn from Shechita to the rest of the Torah. Why do we say that? Midagali Rachmana, we learned the Gemara earlier in our Masechta, and in Masechta Zvochim as well, and Masechta Menachos as well. Misasik B'Kotchim is possible. That if somebody is just Misasik B'Kotchim without real intent to do the Shechita, it's not considered a valid Shechita. Now, what do we learn from that, says the Gemara? By Kotchim, there's a special rule that you need to have intent. Mechlal, what is the Torah teaching us? The Chulin, by being in Kavana. The Bechulin, you don't have to have intent. And therefore, Shechit is an exception to the rule. So now, ask the Gemara, we've well explained the opinion of Rav Nosson, who says that Shechita doesn't require Kavana. What's the Raya? Because only by Kachem does the Torah require Kavana, but a Shechita, not by Chulin. But we've been learning for the last 2 days the opinion of Rabbanon, who do require Kavana b'Shechita. What are they going to do with this Raya? Answers the Gemara, Rabbanon, Ned Loibin Kavana l'zvicha, they say you don't have to have Kavana to do the Shechita, l'chaticha b'inan. Which means, there are three levels. There's one level of no intention at all. Another level of chaticha means that you tend to cut the simonim, but not l'shem shechita. And the third level is that you have kavana l'shem shechita. So according to Reb Nosson, by chulin, you have to, no intention at all is required. And by kachim, you have to have kavana to do chaticha. According to Rabbanah, everything is one notch up. By shechita, you have to have kavana. By chulin, you have to have kavana for chaticha. And by kachim, you have to have kavana l'shem zvicha. Amar Rava, b'hazachin Rav Nosson Rabbanon. But with this argument, Reb Nosson was able to prevail, that Shechita doesn't need Kavana. Because Miksiv V'chotachta V'zavachtiksiv. If you, Rabbanan, are right, says Reb Nosson to Rabbanan, and you're telling me that every Shechita has to have at least Kavana L'shem Chaticha, then Ibi'in and Kavanan L'chaticha Afilu L'zvicha Nami L'bayi. Eloi being in Kavana L'zvicha L'chaticha Nami L'bayi. Which means as follows. The word Vazavachta means to shech. That way you all know. So Reb Nosson says it means to shech, which speaks to an act. It doesn't speak to intent. But you, Rabbanan, obviously are applying a concept of intent to every shechita, even if shechita of chulin. So in your opinion, says Reb Nosson to Rabbanan, the word Vazavachta should not be limited just to an act, but should also include intent. And if the intent that the Torah wants by regular shechitas chulin, according to you, is only l'shem chaticha, then the Torah shouldn't use the word v'zavachta. The Torah should use the word v'chatachta. The fact that the Torah used the word v'zavachta, and that is the word that describes the act of shechita, which according to you, the Rabbanan, includes intent, so it means intent for zvicha. But you just finished saying that even you agree that that is not required by chulin. All that you need by chulin is chaticha. So the wording is inaccurate, and therefore it's a raya that you're wrong. Now, we've been discussing, as I said at the introduction to today's shir, the machlokes of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan about a woman who went to the mikveh without intent. So the Gemara asks, Heichi domi nidish nentsa v'tavla. How does it happen? Ilema the ansa chaverta v'itbala, that she didn't do it, but her friend had the kavana. Ask the Gemara, in Hilchis Nida, the halach is, Kavana de Chaverta Kavana Ma'al Yisahi. Even if this woman has no intent, as we're going to see in a moment, if the person who's immersing her has the proper Kavana, it's good enough. To the degree, says the Gemara, Vaybe Truma Namachla. That not only may she have relations with her husband, but she even could eat Truma. Where do we see that? The Tanan. There's a Mishnah Masechta Nida, where Mitzvah Shem is going to learn it. All these people, Nitvadata means that she lost her mind, she's deranged. They don't have das. How to get out of the mikvah if das is required? Says the Mishnah. If there are intelligent women there, they're the ones that immerse them, and that tefillah is a perfect tefillah that even oichlus b'truma. So again, what is the case that she went to the mikvah without das? Amra Papa, Rav Nosson. According to Reb Nosson, that his definition of no das means no das at all, means she nefla gesher. She's sitting on the bridge, and she fell into the water. Ul Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, that even by shechita say that we don't need full das, but some level of das is required. What happened was she yada lahakar. She went into the mikveh just to cool herself off or just to wash some of her body, and then she ended up totally being immersed. Actually, speak halach lemaisa for a moment, based on this Gemara. Firstly, mechlokes rishonim, if a woman could go to, who has to go to the mikveh could go to the mikveh wearing loose fitting clothing, mechlokes the Rosh and the Rambam. Rosh says if she's wearing loose fitting clothing she could go to the mikveh. The Rambam disagrees. Our Gemara seems to be a riot to the opinion of the Rosh, because why did the Gemara say according to Reb Nosson what happened here? She's sitting on the bridge and she fell in. She's probably sitting on the bridge, she's wearing some clothing. And yet the Gemara says it's a valid tefillah. If she's not allowed to be wearing clothing, how's it a valid tefillah? So it must be that you could go to the mikveh without wearing loose-fitting clothing. The Rambam will explain that it's only b'di'evad. B'di'evad, he'll agree it's a valid tefillah. There's a very interesting tshuva from the Michas Yitzchak. He says, we should not rely on that rush. Besides that, the Shulchan Aruch passes the Rambam. We shouldn't rely on the Rosh because we don't know what the definition of loose-fitting clothing that the Rosh is discussing, that it's a valid tefillah. We don't know what that means. And therefore, we always have to be concerned that it's maybe not. And therefore, she should go to the mikveh without wearing clothing. What is the halacha if a woman went to the mikveh unintentionally? What's the halacha if a woman went to the mikveh unintentionally? So the Ramah says that even though the halacha, as we just learned in our Gemara, is that it's a valid tefillah, l'chatchila she should go to the mikveh again. L'chatchila she should go to the mikveh again, but she shouldn't make a bracha on that second tefillah. However, the Shach says, and it's all very connected to the shir, to the Gemara that we just learned, says the Shach, that's only if there was no one else supervising her going to the mikveh. But our Gemara just said that even if she doesn't have das, but there's somebody there who has das, that's good enough. So that would be fine for her tefillah. There's another interesting shaila along the same lines. Rachmana Latzon. Le'aleinu v'le'aleichem. There's a couple who the husband is not well and is unable to have relations with his wife. But she goes to the mikveh anyway when the time that she could go to the mikveh comes, in order that she could have contact with her husband, she could be able to touch him, he could be able to touch her, even if they're not going to have relations. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps, and he has a full shleim that can have relations. Does she have to go to the mikveh again? So the Pesukim say, certainly not. Why? Because she went to the mikveh with intent. The fact that she didn't intend to have relations, she only intended to be able to come to contact with him, doesn't mean that it isn't 100% perfect tefillah. Similar, interesting shaila that the Pesukim discuss. There was a woman who was in Nida. And she began her Shiva Nikim. She did a Hefzik Tara. She began the first day. And her husband then took a trip, was supposed to take a trip for a long time. And she decided that she's not going to continue counting her Shiva Nikim because her husband isn't here anyway. And for whatever reason, her husband comes home 2 days later. Does she have to start the Shiva Nikim all over again? Or the Shiva Nikim requires intent, and here she stopped counting. Most Paiskim are of the opinion, they say, the Shas Chuvus Cheshavei, for Paskins this way, that we know the halacha is, by the Shiva Nikim, the crucial days are the first day and the seventh day. Here she did the first day properly, she could continue counting. There are some Paiskim that say no, that if there was no intent, so she might have not seen them without knowing. And the third opinion, interesting opinion that I saw some Paiskim suggest, is that the day she counted properly count. She picks up where she left off. So let's say she counted 2 days, and then he was away for 2 days. So she doesn't go back to one, but she doesn't start at four, she goes back to two. Interesting psak. One more shaila that comes up very often, very connected to Al Gemara. Al Gemara is discussing, and as I quoted the Ramah, the L'chatchila one goes to the mikveh should have intent. So what happens? We notice Aloch of Tefillas Kalim as well. That when you buy certain Kalim, dishes, pots, pans, glasses, you have to tivel them. And let's say you ask a goy to tivel them. Or you ask a child to tivel them. What is the status of that tefillah? They don't have das. So before I say anything more, it's very important to point out that without discussing the shaila of das, there's another shaila, and that's a shaila of namonis. Because they certainly don't have namonis. So if they told you that they toivel the dishes or the pots or the pans, and you can't independently verify it by somebody having told you that they know that they did it, they don't have namonis when they say that they did it. But let's say somebody could tell you that they saw it was done. So, but there was no das, because these are people that don't have das. What is the halacha? The Bach says it's not a valid tefillah l'chatchila. But most Paiskim, the Taz and the Shach, and that is the opinion of most Paiskim, hold that tefillas kalim is different than tefillas Adam. An Adam is able to have das. So as we're learning, the, at least l'chatchila, you should have that das. A kalim is never able to have das, and therefore there's no requirement for das by tefillas kalim, and if tefillas kalim was done by somebody who doesn't have halachic das, it's still a valid tefillah. Says the Gemara, and just a word of introduction to the next piece of Gemara. In the sugya that we've been learning, going back to the Mishnah, we've been quoting the machlokes of Rav Nosson and the Rabbanan. And at first glance, Rav Nosson is certainly the makel, because Rav Nosson says you don't have to have das for shechita, and the Rabbanan hold you have to have das. But what's fascinating about the next piece of Gemara we're going to learn, that nothing is as it appears. And even though Reb Nosson at first glance looks like the Mekel, the Gemara is going to show us a case where Reb Nosson is actually the Machmer. Because, says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Shachet Parah v'Shachet Behemah Cheres Imay. We discussed that if you shecht a Parah Aduma and you shecht another animal with it, the Devei Hakol Psula. Everybody holds that that disqualifies the Shechit of the Parah. You're supposed to shecht the Parah alone. Now, Nishchata Behemah Cheres Imay. Let's say the second animal that was slaughtered with the paradoma was slaughtered without das. So now says the Gemara, Le Reb Nosson, that's considered a valid shechita. Because we just finished learning, according to Reb Nosson, you don't have to have das for shechita. And if you don't have to have das for shechita, so the second, even though it was done without das, it's considered a valid shechita, and it falls into the category of shachet parah v'shachet behemah cheres imah. Whereas according to Rabbanon, so therefore, Reb Nosson holds parah psula. The behemah is a good shechita, but you lose your parah aduma. And Rabbanon, on the contrary, the parah is kshera, the behemah is psula. Why? Because since it's not a valid shechita, because Rabbanon say a shechita without intent is not a shechita, so you didn't shecht another animal with your parah aduma, and your parah aduma remains kosher. Says the Gemara, pshita. What we just said is so obvious. What is the chiddush? Answers the Gemara, nishcha the behemah cheres imah le Reb Nosson itzrukalei. The chiddush here is because we would have thought v'shachet asa amrachmana v'loy oisa v'chaverta. What the Torah disqualifies is strictly heichidami kigon sheshachet shtei paros ba'ade adadi, when you slaughter two paros together. Aval, when you didn't shecht a paraduma together with it, then it's never a problem. Emaloy kamash malan. So as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, there are two separate disqualifications. There's one disqualification that the Torah speaks about. Shechting two paradumas at the same time. That's one. Then there's another disqualification. Shechting a paraduma with another animal. And according to Reb Nosson, another animal shechita is a very low threshold because das is not required. One more case. Ha-chotach dilasima. You didn't shecht an animal with shechting your paraduma. You cut a cucumber. The rakop psula. If you did it with intent, so that detracts from the das that you needed for the paraduma, and everybody will agree it's possible. But let's say nechtcha delasima, you didn't have animal slaughter that way, you just cut a cucumber without das, so that's a meaningless act. It doesn't take away from the shkit of the paraduma, the rakel kshera. The next sugi that we begin is the sugi of shia. That means, as we've discussed many times in our shiurim, one of the halachas that disqualifies a shechita is if there's a pause in the middle of the shechita, shia. And as the Rishonim and the Achronim are careful to tell us, shia, as we said, is a halach l'mosh m'sinai. It doesn't need a reason. It disqualifies the shechita. However, interestingly enough, there's a prisha that gives two explanations for the reason that a shia is a disqualification. Actually, there are many Achronim that are concerned with this preacher, because he said they shouldn't give a reason. But I'll quote what the preacher says. One reason, he says, is because the Torah, when it describes the shechit, it says v'shachat, it says one act of shechit. If there's a pause in the middle, it's not one act of shechit. That's one explanation. Another explanation that the preacher gives is because we know, we're going to discuss this in Mitzvah Shemana Masechta, that we're not allowed to eat dam, we're not allowed to eat the blood of an animal. And if this animal was slaughtered with a shear, he suggests that that causes that the blood should get absorbed in the animal to such a degree that it can never be expelled. And therefore, it's Israel Tzdam, not al Shechita. So it teaches us the Mishnah. Nafal Sakim Vigbiya, if the knife fell down in the middle of the Shechita and you pick it up. Nafal Kel Vigbiya. As Mefarshim explained, they usually wore clothing that was very loose-fitting, and it could get in your way, so he just rolls up his sleeves. Hishchas is sakin, or somebody who was working on making the knife sharp, for off, and in the middle of the shechita, he just exhausted, he can't shecht. Bo chaver v'shachat, so somebody takes over. And it's interesting, the Achronim discuss, why is the Mishnah giving us all these stories? The point is that he paused in the middle. Im shok de shechita, if he paused the amount of time to do a shechita, psula, that would disqualify the shechita. Rav Shimon Amar, the shear is mshar kadei biker, which the Gemara will explain soon. Ask the Gemara. The Mishnah, the Tanakhama, said the shear is k'day shechita. Ask the Gemara, my k'day shechita. What is that amount of time? Amar Rav, k'day shechita behem acheres. Amount of time it takes to shecht another animal. And as Rishonim point out, we have to understand what Rav is saying well. Rav is not saying k'day shechita behema, the amount of time it takes to finish this animal. Because let's say you're halfway through, you're a quarter of the way through, so you don't need much time to shecht. He's saying the amount of time it takes to start another animal, no matter where I'm up to in the shechita of this animal, she is only the amount of time it takes to start with another animal from the beginning. Amalei Rav, there's an interesting machlokes in the Rishonim, however, in understanding the opinion of Rav. As we learned at the beginning of this parak, it's enough to shecht Rav Shnayim. It's enough to shecht most of the simonim. So when Rav says the amount of time to shecht another animal, does it mean to shecht Rav of the simonim of the other animal? Or is it enough time just to shecht, that since l'chatchila, as we learned, you're supposed to shecht the entire simon, the amount of time it takes to shecht, not just Rav of the simonim, but the entire simonim. Amalei Rav Kahana Rav Asi L'Rav. When you say this year, when you explain us this amount of time, doesn't mean k'day shechitas behema l'behema for oif l'oif. It takes a lot less time to shecht a bird. Oy duma af behema l'oif. Even though you're shechting a bird, and shechting a bird is much quicker than shechting an animal, the shear stays the same. Amluhu, so Rav responded, loy have b'dikhna be b'chavivi. He learned in the yeshiva Rav Chiya, who Rav Chiya was his uncle. And he says, the day Rav Chiya gave this shear, I guess the day he learned Aflame Beis and Masech Techulin, I wasn't in the proper relationship with my uncle, that Shaila, I should ask him this question, so I can't answer. Itmar, however, says the Gemara, Amar Rav, k'day shechitas behema l'behema, the amount of time it takes to shecht the behema, v'oif l'oif. And the amount of time by oif, the amount of time to shecht an oif. V'shmul Amar, however, Shmuel takes a much lenient, more lenient opinion, I feel behem l'oif. Even though it takes much more time to shecht a bird, an animal, still, even by the shechit of an oif, that is the shear. V'kein, kios and raven, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, I feel behem l'oif. He takes the same lenient opinion. Says the Gemara of Chananya Amar, when we speak about, before we go further, the Rishonim make two interesting points. One point they make is that even Rav, who has this stricter opinion, it says you can't use the amount of time it takes to shecht an animal to be the shear by an oif. You take the amount of time it takes to shecht an oif. He will include the amount of, that's not the amount of time that you actually do the shechita. There's also prep work. You have to grab the bird, you have to put them into your hand. That's all included in the amount of time. One point that the Rishonim make. Then there's a fascinating Ramban. Chumrah. Shmuel and Ravin just said that you take the shear of a behema for an oif. That's a leniency. Says the Ramban, even though they're being this lenient, but we know, going back to the first mission of our parak, by an oif, you only have to shecht one simon. So when we speak about the shear of the shechitas behema, it's not the shear of shechting both simon of the behema, it's the shear of shechting only one simon of behema, because by birds there's no need for two simon. Says the Gemara, when we speak about the shear of shechita, it's not just the actual time of the shechita, there's another element that has to be taken into consideration. Today, shiyave behema cheres, v'yashchut, the amount of time it takes to bring the animal to shecht. Ask the Gemara, Yavi afilim alma. It's a very difficult amount of time. Some of us live near animals. We live on a farm. And some of us are city people. We don't live near animals. And the satat v'rech l'shurim. Everybody, it's going to be a different amount of time it takes to bring an animal. And therefore, says Rav Papa, an explanation, I met this lahatel ikabinayu. The amount of time it takes if the animal's right there, to bring it from where it is. Am Rav Mishmed Rabbi Yosef Rechanina, Kidei Shiag Biena, the amount of time is to lift it, via Bitsena, lift it and hold it down, the Yishchat, but he says, every type of animal has a different shear. A behemoth daka is ladaka, gasa lagasa, the shechita of a behem bedaka, which is a smaller animal, is much quicker. And obviously, he will also hold by a bird. We look at a bird, we don't look at an animal. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rava. Hashoich besakin ra, if somebody shechs with a bad knife. What is the definition of a bad knife? The definition of a bad knife is a dull knife. That means it doesn't have a begima, because we learned many times. A knife with a begima, you can't shech. It's ikur. It has no nicks, but it's just dull. I feel a kol yom kula, even if you shecht it all day, because it took you that long, because it's a dull knife, it's ksher. It's a valid shechita. Ask the Gemara, boy Rava. So Rava asked the following question. She is mashi itzdarfu. We just finished learning in our Mishnah and our Gemara that there's a certain amount of time for each shia. So let's say you made many small shias. Do they combine to disqualify the shechita? Says the Gemara, why doesn't Rava use his actual halacha, what he just said, v'tishlei b'dedei? Because the Gemara is assuming in the Havamin, explained the Rishonim, that when you're going to be using this dull knife, the second raw, you're going to, your hand just gets tired. So you're just not going to shech continuously. And yet Rava said, it's a valid shechita. Isn't that an indication that the different shias don't combine? Says the Gemara, it's not a compelling raya. Because hasam, but the loy shah, you use the dull knife and you never stopped. And therefore it's not a raya. Ask the Gemara, boy Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Nosson, shah b'miyat simonim, mahu teku. And Rashi here, following what he explained in the Gemara we had previously, explains the Gemara as follows. You shechted, and as I said, you shechted roivet simonim, that's what the Torah requires, that's a perfect fine shechita. You paused the amount of time, and then you shechted the last part of the simonim. What is the halacha? And the Gemara remains with a teiku. And as I quoted the Beis Halevi and others when we learned this Gemara the other day, just to repeat, it's difficult to understand this Gemara. If you wouldn't have done the last part, it would be a kosher shechita, the first mishnah of our parak. So why, if you did it after shia, does it become disqualified? The answer is, as the Beis Halevi teaches us, because you're really supposed to do the whole simon. The Torah allows you to do roiv. So if you do roiv, fine. But if you shechted the whole simon, you're showing that that's the kind of shechita you want. And if there's a shechita with a shia in between, as we have been learning, it disqualifies the shechita. However, says Rashi, I mean, there's other pshatim, just to say, in this Gemara. There is an interesting pshat from the Rajba. The Rajba says what the Gemara means here is that you shechted most of the simen with a shot, with this dull knife that Rava said. And Rava said it's a kosher shechita. But the Gemara is asking, if you're going to use a dull knife, maybe you should only do roiv simen, not the entire simon. That's how the Rajba learns. But we're going to learn, and that's the way most Mefarshim learn, like Rashi. So says Rashi, a halach lemaisa, because he says, since the Gemara remains with a teiku, as we learned the other day, we have to be machmer. So says Rashi, what happens if you have the following situation? You slaughtered a bird, and you did roiv simon, and the bird is still running around. So what you want to do is, you want to make sure it's really not gone anywhere. So you cut the simen completely. Says Rashi, you would have a real problem. Because that's shia, b'miyat simen. What you should do, but you want to stop this bird. You should give it a clap on the head, shoot it, but don't shecht it. However, says the Shvus Yaakov, says a very big kula. Because the Shvus Yaakov says that means that there's a real shaila here. Again, it's not a real shayla aloch lemaisa, because when we get a bird, we don't get a chicken with the head on it. But let's say you got a chicken with the head on it still. And the head is still somewhat attached by the simonim. You only shecht the roiv simon. So now you want to cut off the head. So would that be an isser? Perhaps. It's shia b'miyat simon. There's a long pause from when the bird got slaughtered in the slaughterhouse to when it got to your house. And now Gemara Rashi say we have to be machmer. Is that true? Says the Shvus Yaakov, of course not. Because the Shvus Yaakov says that even Rashi, who's being machmer, is only being machmer while you're in the middle of the act of shechita. So if you're in the middle of the act of shechita, the shochet is there, and he has his knife, he cut most of the simen, and now he wants to cut the rest of the siman, that he shouldn't do. But the person who's at home and gets a chicken, he's not involved in the act of shechita, and that's not called shechita b'miyat siman. However, that's the Shvus Yaakov's kula. Says the Noida B'Yehuda, I'm not going to accept what the Shvus Yaakov says automatically. He says, indeed, if both simonim would cut roiv siman, and that chicken gets to your house and you want to just take off the head by cutting off the rest of the siman, that's fine. But let's say, going back to the first mission of our perek, that a valid shechita on a bird is just rejecting roiv of one siman. So let's say that's how you got your chicken. Roiv of one siman was cut. It's perfectly kosher. Now what's left? The whole other siman and the meat of the second siman. Says then you can't cut, because that every even though it's so there's so much distance in every way between the shechita and what you're doing at home, you're doing so much of an act of cutting that would be called shechita b'miyat siman, and you'd have to figure out another way to get the head off. Rav Shimon, we learned in the Mishnah, said him shor k'day biker. The shear is k'day biker. My k'day biker. Amr b'yachin k'day bikur shel chacham. As we learned many times in our Masechta, you're supposed to show the knife to the Rav before you shecht with it. Ask the Gemara again, Im kein nasat v'rech l'shurim. Some people live near the Rav, some people live far from the Rav. Answer the Gemara, El kebei bikur tabach chochem. We're referring to a situation where the Shaykhid is the Rav. So he doesn't have to go anywhere, he's right here. Says the Mishnah, Shachar as a veshit. If somebody shechted the veshit, or pasak as a gageris. And then he didn't shecht the kana. Veshit is the esophagus. Gageris is the kana, the windpipe, the trachea. He didn't shecht the gageris, he just tore it. Or vice versa. Pasak as a gageris, he first tore the gageris. Vachkach shachar as a veshit. Oi, shachar echemhem. We're talking about an animal. Vehimtim ad shemesa. And he waited for the animal to die without shechting the second simen. Oi, Shehechled as a sack and tachs a sheni poskoi. He shechted one simon properly. We had this case the other day, the flamid. He shechted one simon properly. The other simon he did improperly through a chaloda. Rabbi Sheva on the nevela. Rabbi Sheva says, everybody agrees that the animal can't be eaten. Rabbi Sheva says it's nevela. Because according to Rabbi Sheva, an animal is not a trefer unless it was shechted properly. Here wasn't shechted properly. You didn't have both simonim cut properly. Rav Kiva Omer, treifa. Rav Kiva says it's a treifa. Why? Because according to Rav Kiva, at least at this point of the Mishnah, we're going to see very differently in a moment, as long as you shechted one simon properly, that's enough that the animal should not be an avail, it should be only a treifa. And as we've said so many times, there's a very big nafkamina between an avail and a treifa. An avail, somebody eats his tummy, touches, carries. A behem and treifa, you're not allowed to eat, but there's no tumah. Summarizes the Mishnah. Klal Amar Bisheva Mishur Mabishua. Kol Shanifshla Bishchitasai. Whenever the Shchita is not done properly, Nevela. Kol Shishchitasai Geroi. But where the Shchita was done properly, V'dov Achagarmla. There's just a different disqualification to this animal. V'dov Achagarmla Apostle, that's a treifa. That means that's the animal. The classical case has a defect. But ultimately, Rabbi Kiva agreed to Rabbi Yeshiva. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah concluded Shachar Saveshit, and in the cases of our Mishnah, ultimately, Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva agreed to Rabbi Yeshua. Reminu. Ask the Gemara, we're going to learn the next parak. The next parak says, Eilu Trefas Behema. What are the cases of a Trefa? The Kuva Saveshit, that if the Veshit has a hole in it, or Pesukas Hagageris, or if the veshu was cut properly and the gageris was ripped. But the Mishnah there is saying it's a treifa. We just said that everybody, even Rabbi Kiva, agrees it's a nevela. And as Taisba says, maybe what the Mishnah says, really what the Mishnah means is elu treifas, it's a treifa and a nevela. Says Taisba, the fact that the Mishnah uses the words elu treifas means to exclude that it's only a treifa, and not an avela. Amar Rav Elai Kasha. Kan Shishachat Ulupsai Pacha. If you first did a shechita and then you tore, or vice or versus shepasak u'b'sof shachat, or you first tore and then you shechted. And the Gemara explains this difference. Shachat u'b'sof pasak, if you first did a shechita on one simen and then you tear the second simen, nifsala b'shechitahi, it became disqualified through the shechita. And since it became disqualified through the shechita, it's an avela. On the other hand, pasak ulabsayf shachat kidava acher garmlay lepasul damya, it's only considered a treifa. Ask the Gemara, eisvei Rav Acha bar Huna l'Rava, let's learn our Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah, shachat es aveshet, if you first shechted the veshet, and then pasak, it's like a geris, and you rip the kana, or vice versa, pasak es agageris, if you rip the kana first, vakach shachar es aveshet, and then you do shechita on the veshet. In both cases, Rabbi Yeshevov, and ultimately Rabbi Kiva, hold it's nevela. So how could you, Rava, ask the Gemara, make a difference between these two cases, where in our Mishnah teaches us that both of these cases, Rabbi Yeshevov and ultimately Rabbi Kiva, hold it's nevela? Eimer, says the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah is that it's referring to a case, the Kvash Shachar Es Aveshet Mikara. Not that you first rip the Kana, and then you first rip the Kana, and then you shech the Veshet. It's talking about you shech the Veshet, and then rip the Kana, which Rav is suggesting would be a Trefa, not an Avela. Ask the Gemara, there are two problems with this approach. Shei Chuvas B'Dala. Hanan Dehanan Kamaisa. So the Mishnah is saying the same case twice. V'yoy, Hatnan, Vachkach. The Mishnah says that it was done afterwards. So how could you say that it was done before? The Mishnah clearly says, Vachkach Shachar Es Aveshet, not that you did the Veshet before ripping the Kana. On the contrary, you first ripped the Kana, and then you shechted the Veshet. Ela Amarava, says the Gemara, the way to understand that Mishnah is not to understand that the Mishnah is saying that everything listed in that Mishnah, even the case that we just finished learning in our Mishnah, which was saying everybody agrees is nevela, but rather the proper gears of that Mishnah is Eilas Suris Ketani. The Mishnah says there's certain animals that you may not eat. Yesh mehem nevelas, yesh mehem treifas. Not that everything is a treifa, because the cases that are listed in this Mishnah and listed in that Mishnah as well are nevela, not treifa. Says the Gemara, if that Mishnah is coming to teach us other cases as well, that Mishnah is coming to teach us cases of Nevelis, so that Mishnah is missing some cases. Lishanam de Cheskia, the case that we learned in our Perek, Dama Cheskia, also Gistra, if the animal was made into a Gistra, that means it was either chopped, we learned different Pshatim, or was made a Drusa, it's a Nevela. If that Mishnah is coming to teach us Nevelis, it's missing some cases. Or another case that we learned earlier, the Lechshanami de Rebbe Lezer. Dom Rebbe Lezer, not Le'yerek v'chalal shlo, if the entire thigh and the joint that it lays on was removed, Nevela. So if you're saying that Mishnah wants to mention Nevelas, you're missing some Nevelas. In fact, the Gemara asks, the Mepharshim asks, there's another Nevela we learned about. The Nishbara Mafrekas that we learned is a Nevela. So it's a riot to something that we discussed, because we discussed by Nishbara Mafrekas, does the chut ha-shedra, does the spinal cord also have to be severed? And we said that many Rishonim say that Nishbar and Frekas includes the shedra. This is a raya, because the Mishnah over there does mention Nishbar ha-shedra. And that's why it doesn't have to mention Mafrekas, but Mafrekas is already included in shedra. Answer the Gemara, Kiktani Nevela D'Lay Mitam M'chayim. The Mishnah is only mentioning those Nevelas that become Nevelas with the Hilchas Tumah Nevela after they're killed. Av Nevela, which these cases are the Mitam Mechayim, Loik Tani. Rav Shimon ben Lakish gives a different explanation. Kansha Shachat ben Mokim Chetach, it makes a difference where you cut. Did you do the Shechita where there's a cut previously? Kansha Shachat Shlai ben Mokim Chetach. And the Gemara explains itself. Shachat ben Mokim Chetach, if you shecht in the place where there is a cut previously, Nifslub Shechitahi, and therefore, if it's nisl b'shchita, it's a nevela. If, however, it was shloim b'makom chatach, kidom v'gam acha garmla, l'posel damya, and it's a treifa. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Umi Amar Shimon Malakish Hachi, Vamar Shimon Malakish, Shachra Sakana, if somebody shechted the Kana, Fakach Nikfa Areya, and only after you shechted the Kana, the lung gets punctured, which normally a punctured lung is a treifa, Ksheira. Alma, why? Because the lung is Kamunach Bidikula Damya. It's not doing anything, it's just like sitting in a basket once the Kana is cut. Hachanami, Kamanam Mechunach Bidikula Damya. So what's the difference where you cut, if it had a cut there or not? El Amar B'chiyibar Abba Amar B'yochran Loi Kasha Kan Kaidim Chazara Kan Lach Chazara O Mishnah Loi Zazim Kaidim, which means as follows. Originally, as we learned our Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva held it to Treifa. That Mishnah represents Rabbi Kiva's original opinion. Our Mishnah teaches us Rabbi Kiva's final opinion. Rabbi Kiva's final opinion is that it's considered an Avela like Rabbi Shevav. So the Mefarshim explain, our Mishnah is before that Mishnah. So they say, ain't say the Mishnah. There's no specific order to the Mishnayos. And obviously that Mishnah, Daf Mem Beis, was learned before this Mishnah, Daf Lamed Beis. Ask the Mefarshim, but we know throughout Shas, we have Stam Vachkach Machloikis, Machloikis Vachkach Stam, so in one Mesechta. So how are we saying there's no Seder? So they say, the only Mishnayos the Rebbe was careful what the order was, is when you have a Stam Mishnah and a Machloikis. But when you don't have that issue, Rebbe wasn't particularly careful what order he put the Mishnayos in.